This is Tony from aminutetomidnight.com bringing you the third in our interview series with former Illuminati member Carolyn Hamlett. Now, I suggest that you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any of these episodes, because I can tell you that there's some pretty interesting stuff to come in this video and in subsequent ones. I just want to apologize for a few sound gremlins here and there in this interview. Seems to be par for the course when you're bringing out truth, that these things seek to interfere with what you're doing. In this particular broadcast today, we're going to be talking with Carolyn about a very important subject, which is how the Illuminati infiltrate churches. Carolyn has first-hand experience here because that was what she did when she was in the organization. Some eye-opening stuff, so here we go. Carolyn, I'm just wondering then, could you explain a little bit to the listeners about how the Illuminati infiltrates churches and what role that you had in that, and what the plan is there?
Well, they've... maybe one of the best places to start is my first experience with church infiltration. I was I was about 4 or 5 years old. Yeah, I had to be 4 or 5 years old. And it had to do with a church in Tampa, Florida. And my mother, and she had a small group of women that studied together and practiced their occult gifts. The Ascended Master sent my mother into this church to infiltrate, actually sent the women in there. And I was with her when she did this 3 Sundays in a row. She telepathically dictated a sermon to the pastor. I was sitting in the church with her while she was doing this. I didn't know at the time exactly that that's what she was doing. I remember the night before she'd been typing out something, and she folded up the paper and she put it in her purse. But she didn't, I didn't see the paper during the time that she was in the church. We sat on the front row, but she was intently concentrating on the pastor, and I stayed quiet because I knew that's what I was supposed to do. It was the third Sunday that I knew for sure what she was doing. That happened where the pastor and was called over by one of the women to, I think it was one of the women that called the pastor over to talk to the rest of the group. Well, whatever happened was that the pastor, usually in the courtyard at this church, after church, the pastor would mingle. Well, the pastor was speaking with the group of women and with my mother, and he just said, "I just don't know where that sermon came from. It just out of the blue, I had something I had already planned to speak about, and this sermon came to my head." So I just let the spirit go, and I gave the sermon. And I looked at the ladies, my mother's friends, and they were all kind of giggling, and they put their hands over their mouths like they're just giggling, like they wanted him to know that they had a secret they were sharing from him. He's going like, what? So the lady said, "Okay, Nancy, tell him." That was my mother's name. So she opened up her purse. She pulled out a folded piece of paper. He opened it up, and it was the typed, which she had typed the night before. He about went white. He looked at that. It was a sermon that he gave. He said, "How did you know?" And then she said, "I telepathically dictated it to you. That's where you got the last three weeks of sermons." Do you know that that man was interested? How did that happen? How can you do this? Well, that man got roped in to work for Satan's spiritual hierarchy. That the hierarchy knew he was ready to hear it in that manner. But there are steps that brought him to that level. But sometimes it's like they'll put a book in somebody's hands. They prepare somebody ahead of time to be ready for something as shocking as that. So, I mean, it was surprised him, but the soil was already prepared. So he actually became a metaphysical pastor, leading his flock, not, I mean, away from Jesus Christ into metaphysics.
What denomination was he part of?
This was Methodist.
Right.
This was a large Methodist church in Tampa, Florida. And I checked at the time, I found out more about him a few years ago. I checked up on him to see if he was still alive and to see what he was maybe pastoring, what type of information he was putting out. I was satisfied that what he was putting out, not satisfied that I liked it, but it was obvious that he was still pastoring metaphysical doctrine, but in a secret sort of a way. So that was just an example of how a pastor can be swayed to get into, to fall into the program, to believe that he's enlightened, he received telepathically, so therefore he's highly spiritually attuned and God can really use him. God can use him to pastor this flock and to take him to higher levels of spirituality. Well, actually, it's taking him away from the Bible is what it is. Taking them away from salvation, that there is salvation in one person, Jesus Christ. They actually take you away from the teachings of Jesus Christ. So they were able to disciple this pastor and teach him what they say Jesus Christ is. And it's not what the Bible says Jesus Christ is. So that was my first experience with church infiltration. Another was when I was, well, actually I was somewhat involved in infiltrating an occult church when I was recruited back into the organization back in, it was in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was in the late 1970s. While I was in that church, I was taken back into the spiritual hierarchy. It was, they sent someone in to get me, as well as they sent the same person to retrieve several other people. And that became a new group. Well, that group was used to infiltrate. It was going to be used to infiltrate other churches. Well, I didn't last long. I lasted one church infiltration. And God was able to show me the truth during that time. But that, what happened was we were sent into a church in the Northern Kentucky area. We were trained ahead of time of what this church, the church group, the people believe. They were charismatic Christians. We were to be able to walk into that church and appear as if we were fully comfortable with them, that we were told about the praise and worship time, we were told about their music and to sing along with it, and clapping hands, which was all new to us, and praising, what praise and worship was about. But we are also instructed, do not let anybody touch you. Do not go forward to be saved. And in fact, they had us, my mentor, who's actually considered a master in the organization, a physical master, she had us all confess to her that Jesus Christ was our Savior, although I knew that that was not true according to what the Bible was saying. But what she did was tell us to say this to her, that that was our confession, so that none of us needed to talk to a pastor. It was a very complicated process with this church, with the infiltrating, because the higher spiritual hierarchy was using this opportunity to train some of its own people, my group, to go further into the organization, deeper into the organization with them. So at one point, these people were being told about Jesus Christ and told that they're saved, but not to be told by the church saying, you're saved, these people don't know what they're talking about, we're going to show you the higher way. So these people are being led away from Jesus Christ while we were inside of the church. But at the same time, what I did, I was actually, well, God was showing me his spirit moving in some of the people in the church. So I got to see the true Holy Spirit moving, which made me start to realize that it was the beginning of me realizing that I had to counterfeit. But when I went into this church to infiltrate, I was like second in command of our group. I went in believing that we were going to help these Christians. We were going to change their way of thinking, that we were going to take them to a higher level of spirituality. We were also, it was confusing in some ways also, because I sensed that some of the people in the church had sexual addictions. And some of the people, it's like they were, the ones with sexual addictions were attracted to certain members of our group. I don't think that was an accident. I think that was a way, see, in some of the church infiltrations, some people have demonic spirits attached to them, whether they realize it or not, they do. Where it, if somebody has a weakness, let's say a man has a weakness, a sexual type of a weakness, that they will be, they may gravitate toward a person that has a demonic spirit attached to them. Don't blame it on the person with the spirit. I mean, that's their own problem. The thing is, I'm sure I had those attached to me. I know for a fact my mentor did. Okay, so, but if you have a spiritual weakness, you cannot get free of it if you blame somebody else for it. You need to get free of that yourself, and it can only happen through Jesus Christ. You know, ask God for help. It can be done. Lots of people get freed from that. There was also pedophilia going on in this church. In fact, my master, physical master, was involved in some of that herself. I know for a fact that was going on. I know for a fact it was going on in the church. So what was happening at the same time that I was not aware of is that the very spirits that came into the church with us, which were some of Satan's highest in his spiritual hierarchy, went into that church with us. They were actually feeding off of the negativity in the church and encouraging that. So I didn't even know at that point exactly what was going on until I have been saved myself and stepped back and looked at the whole situation. And as I've said before, okay, now there were people that actually had weaknesses. Their weaknesses became stronger when we were there. However, there were some strong people that were Holy Spirit guided that actually drove out the person that the physical master, and drove out some of those entities. It didn't take many people that were strong like that. They knew what we were about. They didn't say it. In fact, the person that gave me the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, toward the end of this whole thing was, he knew what we were about. He just never said it. There were people praying for us and out of love. I'm sure some of them may have been angry. You know, there were probably some prayers of anger too. There probably were those too, but they're praying. The ones I knew about, people were praying because they sensed evil and they had compassion for people, us. So I guess God was equipped those people spiritually to fight for us, actually drove her out of the church. She couldn't come. She could not even attend the church again. That was the physical master. And I was able to continue on. It actually, the Spirit of God entered into my family through that, and things got better in my family. I was not a Christian yet, really. I mean, I had not fully given myself to Jesus Christ until months later. But God was already starting to work in my life. So there are many things that take place in church infiltration. Sometimes a church will be infiltrated to lead a pastor astray. I mean, that is a main target. A pastor and his wife, gossip. Gossip is one of the most damaging things that can happen in a church. Do you know that people would rather rather gossip about people standing outside of a church smoking cigarettes? I mean, at least the person came to church, you know, and yet I don't know what's more damaging to the spirit of a person, somebody who goes to church and the fact that they're doing something harmful, harmful for their physical body, and they know it's harmful. They came to church. They want to hear the word of God. Hopefully the word of God is being taught in that church. And then what's worse? Gossiping. I mean, gossiping is like, it can be like an addiction, worse than cigarette smoking. I'm not telling everybody they should smoke cigarettes or do harmful things to their body. Gluttony's a sin. It can, I'm saying sin in the sense that it can bring damage to it. Sin, when, wherever there's sin, it's an opening for the dark side to enter and to dig a hole in, to dig themselves a hole and start making a residence if they can. So when a church is infiltrated, it's not just for doctrine. It's to try to break down the stability of the church. Just like if they break down the head of the household, a marriage, it breaks down the stability of the spiritual umbrella over the entire family. Same way with the church. And they try to get the bickering back and forth with people that set divisions. Sex is it seems like it's such a diversion for people. People are easily drawn to that, convinced like, oh, this is, I shouldn't be married to this man. I should be married to that man over there. Or I should be married to this woman and not to that woman. And instead of putting God first in their lives, it's just, there's a lot of strife that gets brought into a church, even by one person deliberately going in there to bring in dark entities. So when you are involved in prayer and praise, that helps drive out the dark side. I've seen it happen. Prayer and praise used to pretty much take the life out of my mentor, especially when she got prayed for by one of the deacons of the church. It's just like, it's not funny. I just thinking about how different she was. It's funny in the fact that the dark side could get chased out and hurt. The life of Satan can get stomped out of a person when you're praying, praising and praying to God, because God, in the Bible, it says that God inhabits the praises of men. And he really does. That's the place where you find him. It's not that he needs to be praised and worshiped. It's just everything about him and his presence is just praise. It's just, it's his just glory. And when you enter into that, it just strangles Satan's, the life out of Satan. So when you're involved in prayer and praise and love in your church and love one for another, that just is like a stranglehold on Satan, drives the demons out.
Having listened to that intently and thought, wow, that's really a vital information there, I was wondering, do you think that today there would be specifically placed in churches, particularly some of the mega churches, leaders within those movements that are a part of the organization deliberately leading the congregations astray?
I'm sure there are. I don't know. I can't say for sure which ones are. What I can tell people is something they already know. And it's just a reminder. How do you know if somebody is going against the word of God? Well, you have to know the word of God yourself. If somebody is teaching, preaching contrary to what the word of God says, and specifically Jesus is Christ's words and his teachings, you know, when people want to argue about so many different parts of the Bible, what this says, no, it doesn't, it says this or that, I always go back to Jesus. You know, it's like, well, what would Jesus do? Well, what did Jesus say? What was his teachings? And about the end times, what did Jesus say about the end times? And sometimes we don't have as specifically clear answers. But if you are in Christ, you've given yourself to Jesus Christ, you've put your life in his authority, then you should have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You would be in Christ. He is in you. You are in him. He is in the Father. And you abide in him. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And you will know within your spirit what is of God and what is not. And when it comes to some of these pastors, if they're preaching doctrines that do not go according to what Jesus Christ said. And one of the most, I think, satanic doctrines right now, in fact, it is like the most satanic doctrine right now because it's leading into the New World Order religion that's supposed to be not a religion. It's the ecumenicalism movement that there is no sin. Do what you will. I mean, it's nice to love people, of course, to have understanding for people, compassion for people. But the truth is that there is one way to be connected to the Heavenly Father, and that is through Jesus Christ, that the world outside of that, you're subject to being unholy spirit guided, that there are two plans, that there's God's plan. And if you are not under the umbrella of God, being Holy Spirit guided by Him, then you are going to be unholy spirit guided. When you're unholy spirit guided, you are falling into Satan's plan. You can be used by him. Now, people talk about the helmet of salvation. I laugh a lot of times about how the helmet of salvation is like the ultimate tin hat. You know, people laugh, like, say, I'm a tin hat wearer. You know what? That's going to shelter you from all the lies of Satan. The helmet of salvation is first. You know, if you talk about the full armor of God, put on that helmet of salvation.
Yeah.
And so then you just go on through there for the full armor of God. So I won't name anybody. You know, there's some people that I specifically believe could very well be placed in by the spiritual hierarchy. There's one person I am 100% into belief that, well, it's like I can say I 100% know that he has been placed by Satan's spiritual hierarchy. And not only that, his predecessors were placed in there by the spiritual hierarchy, Satan's spiritual hierarchy. And that has to do with the Catholic Church.
It's current Jesuit Pope, I presume you're talking about?
Yes. And even the popes before them, they've been following the plan of Satan. And I know this because I've known what the plan is. I've known the time period, the schedule, where they're introducing things and why they're introducing it. I've said this for years, that the movement, they were going to move toward the ecumenicalism, that is the combining of all religions, is the predecessor to the get people primed for the peace, love, and brotherhood that's going to be coming in. Now, they still have a lot of wars. They want to create a lot of turmoil, but they're doing, it's the way the organization works. They preach goodness and beauty and love on one hand. At the same time, their other hand is causing the harmony through conflict. They're creating conflict and chaos so that you will be ready. See, they're preparing the masses for the love and the peace and the brotherhood. It's all a great thing, but they're bringing their plan. They want to give you their solution. And that while they're stirring up the chaos so that you'll want their solution, even though the Pope is speaking wonderful things, he's not speaking about Jesus Christ. He claims to be the vicar of Christ, the representative of Jesus Christ. He may say he's a vicar of Christ, but he's not. Not the Christ of God, Jesus Christ. It's the Christ of Satan. I'll tell you what, if I didn't know the plan of Satan and what he's, the road, the end road, I would probably be thinking, oh, that great, this Pope is wonderful. You know, I'm looking at the smiling Pope. He looks happy and everything. And he's talking about love this person, love that person, and uniting the nations. I would be all for that. I can see how easily people can be for that. But if you know what the Bible itself says, then the Pope cannot be a representative of Jesus Christ from the Bible. because Jesus Christ from the Bible teaches a totally different thing than the Pope does. So one clear way for people to ever know if the Pope is of God or not is to read the Bible. Please study the Word of God yourselves. He's not representing the biblical Jesus Christ, and he's the Jesus Christ that's my Savior. He is the Jesus Christ that Satan's spiritual hierarchy is at war against and does not want you to know that Jesus Christ is Savior, that God's plan is to work through you now, is to not have you have to confess to any priest, that your confessions can go straight to God in heaven right now through Jesus Christ. And the reason we confess our sins is so we can put that behind us, seal that door, and not be a weapon of or a tool of Satan, not to be used by him, so that God can fully pour his Holy Spirit in us and guide us. That's what we need in these last days. That's what Satan doesn't want us to know. And the Pope is being used. I keep thinking it's almost like a John the Baptist was used to prepare the way before Jesus. It's like Pope is doing the same thing as preparing the way before the Antichrist person introduces the global religion that's actually going to try to do away with the true believers of Jesus Christ.
Well, folks, you've just been listening to Carolyn Hamlett of beyondthephysicalrealm.com. I suggest you check out her website if you haven't already been there, and check it out anyway, even if you have, because there's often regular updates on there. And subscribe to this YouTube channel, because I can tell you, still coming up in future interviews, Carolyn's going to reveal to us about aliens and UFOs and who are aliens and what is the agenda there. Also about MKUltra and mind control. A bit more on the Pope and religion and a bunch of other things yet to come. False flag events, there's lots still to come. So tune in next time, and thank you for listening to us here at aminutetomidnight.com.